Listen, I don't know where you are right now. You could be riding down the highway or walking through your house. Listen, if you're all by yourself, what I need you to do real quick is pick up the phone, call somebody, get on social media, let somebody know that you're safe and you're glad about it. If you're not ashamed, get one accord out right there.
Say, say neighbor, neighbor, yeah, yeah. I said, you know, say,
say, say, say, say,
turn around and raise me.
Turn around and raise me.
I'm glad about it.
I'm glad about it.
I'm glad about it.
I'm glad about it.
Dr. Montgomery will be celebrating his 64th birthday on January the 8th. And on January 28th, the fourth Sunday, he will celebrate his 35th preaching anniversary at the Greater King David Baptist Church. One church ministering in two locations, 7305 Harry Drive and 222 Blood Road. If Dr. Montgomery has been a blessing to you through the preaching, teaching ministry of God, you can bless him by Cash App or mail. Cash App address is $JEM2. $JEM2. Or send check or money order to Greater King David Corporate Office, 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Help us celebrate this great man of God.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Treating the uncompromised words of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church. Dr. Montgomery is the pastor of the Greater King David Baptist people through the Lord God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
God has unctioned my spirit again to this word in 1 John chapter 4. And I want to commence reading at verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 17, recorded are these words. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, and hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of God. John is speaking about this love, excuse me, and its perfection. And one of the things that I think we ought to note from the beginning of this word and this message is that this agape love that John is referencing here is the love out of which every believer, one, should possess, and two, present. It is the perfect love of God, that love that has the ability to cover a multitude of sins and yet bring to the reality the shortcomings of a brother or sister, and helping and aiding and bearing their weakness until they are able to walk in the way of love that God ordains. One of the things, again, that we look at is John presents this dichotomy. And a dichotomy is twofold. And it is a classification between two opposed parts or classes. And I want you to see this, because when we look at verse 17, it says, herein is our love made perfect, listen, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now verse 18 says, there is no, here is the word, fear. Now verse 17 talks about boldness. Verse 18 talks about fear. Here is this dichotomy that John is presenting before us to help us understand that if you have the perfect love of God out of which you are operating in, you can't operate in boldness and in fear. If you operate in boldness, it's because you have no fear. If you operate in fear, it's because you have no boldness. And you have, listen at this, one or the other based on whether or not you have the true perfecting love of God. Let's walk back again through verse 17, because there's some things I want us to see about this verse. It says, herein is our love made perfect. Now, it's made perfect, which means it's a process. And it's a process that we must be cognizant of, because one of the things that believers must understand is that God is constantly, continuously working on us. The Holy Ghost is always pruning us. He's always picking us. He's always doing what is necessary to perfect us. That's why he doesn't allow us or our spirits to rest when the manifested love of God is not flowing out of our lives. It doesn't matter what the world says about you, but you can't say the same thing about them. Doesn't matter how the hater feels about you, but you can't feel the same way about the hater. Doesn't matter what they do to you, you can't do the same thing to them and be all right with it, because you are different and God is perfecting you through the Holy Ghost. And therefore, he will convict you while he won't even bother them for the moment with the mess that they're doing to you. So it's important for you to understand, if he won't let you rest and be at peace when you speak out of order, when you do like they do, when you act like they act, it's because he is in the midst of perfecting you, and it is a process. Sometimes he's got to wake you up in the midnight hour. Sometimes he won't even let you be able to eat your oatmeal, your grits right.
You lose your appetite. Stuff just wrong. You don't feel good. Can't put your finger on. He just won't let you be at peace if the perfected love of God is not flowing out of you the way that it ought to be. Now look again, because I want you to see. By God dwelling in us and by our dwelling in him, by having the fullness of his love in our lives, and by the perfection of that love in daily manifestation, we may have boldness in the day of judgment. This is possible because we are like God, listen to this, being holy, pure, loving, good, and true. We are like God, being holy, pure, loving, good, and true. We have the boldness because we, the believers, will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, according to the word of 1 Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. But the believer must understand in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 and 15, as believers stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that's not the same place that the sinner will stand before. The sinner, according to Revelation 20, verse 11 and 15, will be at the great throne of God. And listen at this, when the great white throne is before the sinner, 1,000 years after the believers have confessed and said and been judged by the Lord Jesus Christ at Jesus Christ's throne, there is going to be a major difference in what happens at each one of these judgment places. First of all, when the believer stands before the judgment seat of Christ, listen to this, he will have boldness. Boldness because, again, he is holy, pure, loving, good, and true. How is he all those things? Because Jesus made him that way. Jesus made her that way. It's not because of our own doing, our own being, all that we thought we were. It's because of what Jesus did for us. And he positionally made us all of these things because of who he is. Now notice again what the word says, and let's go back into it. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he, what? As he is, listen to this, so are we in this world. As he is. What a rebuke to those who hold that men cannot live to this kind of standard in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. We ain't got to die to be holy. We ain't got to die to be loving. We ain't got to die to be pure. We ain't got to die to be true. We don't have to die to be the things that the Lord Jesus Christ is, because he positionally made us those things when he saved us. And so the devil is a lie. We are holy because Jesus said we are holy. His precious blood made us holy. Tell your neighbor, you're holy if you belong to Jesus. Listen, there is a purity that comes only from Jesus. Man's purity never could reach that level of purity. So tell your neighbor, we're pure if we belong to Jesus. Tell your neighbor, you're loving if you belong to Jesus, even though you might be acting hellish right now. Look at this. Tell him you're good if you belong to Jesus, and you're true, even if you do lie every now and then. Listen, he's still working on us. Don't sit here and look at me like he's through with you, boo. Because he's still got some work to do on you and some work to do on me. He is still, listen, holding fast to his word. And so as he is holy, he is pure, he is loving, he is good, he is true. And the record is, and so are we. Hallelujah. I know when you don't feel like that, you don't want to say amen, but thank God it ain't about a feeling. feelings. That's the problem right there. You're going on the wrong thing. You ought to be going on faith and the word, not on feelings. But look at what this word says, because I want us to go back through it. Now, this boldness comes because of whose we are. We let the devil hoodwink us and mess with our spirit, grieve us and bring us down to low states, and find ourselves walking outside of the perfect will of God, mostly due to what we feel as opposed to what God has said. Listen, it behooves us to walk according to what he calls us and not what man calls us. See, man has a limited, fractured perspective of you. God has a holistic perspective of you. Man might see your one fall and call you what you have fallen from. But God sees where you have come up from the fall. Man sees this chapter. God sees the whole book. And what man doesn't see, what man doesn't know, what has not been revealed to man, God already knows. And just because you might have lost at this one stage, doesn't mean that you've lost the whole race. And God calls you a winner while you're lying on your back, while you've been knocked down, while stuff ain't right and things aren't good. God calls you a victor. God calls you the one who is on the top and in the place of privilege because of who you are and whose you are. But man sees your place in the present. And if it doesn't look like a winner, he doesn't call you a winner but a loser. And you've got to attune your hearing to what God says. As he is, so are we. That's what gives you the boldness to operate out of the word and not out of feelings. Because there are many days we may feel worthless, and we may feel unholy, and we may feel impure, and we may feel no good, and we may feel untrue, and we may not feel loving, but yet God says in his word, as he is, so are we in this. Well, I ain't got to wait to die to get to heaven to be all these things. He sees those things in us, and it is up to us to walk those things out of us, live those things, demonstrate those things. And we can only do this through the agape, godly kind of love. But let's move on, because I want you to see something else. The Bible says in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear has torment. See, when you have fear, there is the fear of rejection. There is the fear of not being worthy. There is the fear of low self-esteem. There is the fear of all of the different torments the enemy brings in that reality. And so if you feel all of those things in you, it's because you've not recognized that it really wasn't about you in the first place. It was about him in you. And so while you have the perfect love that gives you the perfect boldness, it is because you recognize that in spite of you, not you at your best, but you at your worst, he loved you, picked you up, turned you around, cleaned you off, put you in the right path, blessed you with the blessings that only heaven could bless you with. He did all of that when you were worthless. So can I tell you, when God loves you at his best and you're at your worst, what can the devil do to try and turn that around? See, it's one thing when folk love you when you're on top and you're the winner, things are going good and you're looking good and feeling good and you're on your A game and you know they love you because you're a winner. And then if you happen to lose and then they act funny with you, you understand it because you're no longer in the winner's circle. But thanks be to God, he don't love us like man loves us. He said you could not have fallen any lower than you were when I met you. You couldn't have been any worse than you were when I met you. You couldn't have had anything less than what you had when I met you. You were a mess when I met you. You weren't nothing when I met you. And when I met you, I fell in love with you. Now, man, when you know somebody loves you at that state, it don't get no better than that. And so this is how we recognize, what can I have any fear in this kind of perfect love? Ain't nothing I can do that can turn him off. You don't believe me? Let me ask you that. How many of you saved in the house? If you're not saved, don't raise your hand. If you're saved, raise your hand. I'm trying to get you to hear me here today. All right? Well, listen at this. How many of you, since you've been saved, have sinned willfully? All right. Maybe I might ask y'all to close your eyes because you don't want notice about some of us. All right. Can I ask you, since you've been saved, how many of you have done what he told you not to do since you've been saved now? Right. How many of you didn't do what he told you to do since you've been saved? How many of you in here are afraid to let everybody know all of the worst that you've done not sitting here on Sunday morning? Come on, you sit here, act holier than thou if you want to, but he'll get you exposed now. You won't act like you've been a perfectly a Christian Monday through Sunday. There are some things you did last night, last week. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Well, all I'm trying to help you understand is, with all that you've done and not done, he still loves you, and you can't turn him off. Listen, when you decide you don't want him no more and don't want to love him and don't want to be with him no more, the only thing he can do is turn you loose over to a reprobate mind. But you can't turn. He still loves you. And at any point in time you decide to get it together, he's going to be right here where you left him at. Because he said he's married to the backslider. He loves you with an everlasting. Do you know what everlasting mean? Everlasting means lasting ever. Ain't no limits on it. It doesn't expire. And so that's the kind of love he loves you with. So listen, how can you have fear? That kind of perfect love casteth out fear. Be like, where are you coming from with that? No, I messed up. No, I'm wrong. No, I didn't do right. No, I'm not all that he wants, but he still loves me. He may hate my sin. Don't get it twisted. But he still loves me. And so when we look at that kind of love, it's the kind of love that makes you want to do right. It's the kind of love that makes you say, God, if you could love me at my worst, the least I can do is get it together and be the best I can be. When I fall, you pick me up. And if I fall a million times, you pick me up a million times because you want the best for me. Why can I not want the best for myself? And when you keep remembering that he won't let you be less than you can be, the best of what you can be, then sooner or later it hits you. And that love that has the ability to perfect you, complete you, makes you cast out all fear of rejection from God. Listen, wherever you fall short with man, you don't have to worry about that with God. Whatever you aren't with man, you don't have to worry about being that with God. Whatever your deficiencies and insufficiencies are with man, you don't have to worry about that changing God's heart. He loves you in spite of you. I want you to see something else now. Verse 19 says, we love him. Oh, we love him. Is there anybody in the house that love him? Can you just help me preach this message and tell somebody we love him? Can you make it personal and just say, I love him? Now, somebody sitting next to you who don't understand why you love him, can you tell him, them, whoever him or he or she is, why you love him so much? Can you just tell him? Because he first loved me, listen to this, and if we can follow the paradigm, if we can follow the model, if we can follow the example of how much he loves us, and love him in that thing, our brothers and sisters, then we will love with the love of God that is perfect. We love him. Because, don't get it twisted, he first loved us. He showed us how to love. He showed us why to love. And he did it without fear of rejection. He did it. He extended first the love. He did it. When we didn't even love ourselves, he did it. Look at what verse 20 says. If a man say, I love God, now here's where he brings it home, and hated his brother, he is a liar. Now, notice what the word says. It doesn't say he told a lie. It says he is a liar, which literally means that everything that he says and he does is a lie. If he says he loves God, whom he's never seen, and hates his brother, whom he sees every day, he is a liar. He is fooling himself because he's not fooling God. He is a liar because that comes from the father of lies, which means he or she is a son or daughter of a liar, which means they have a spirit of lying. And every time they open up their mouths, it's some part of a liar. Their actions are filled with untruthfulness, which makes that a lie. And listen at this. God makes it clear that we can distinguish the difference between those who say they love God and understand that if they hate you or any other brother, they are a liar. Listen at this. Walk with me, if you will, through the text that tells the truth. And let's look at some liars in John. Let's go back to the first chapter of John, if you don't mind. Just walk with me. Look again, if you will, at 1 John, beginning at verse 6. We're going to point out some liars here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. Listen at this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Well, look at verse 8, first chapter. Listen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. What that mean? We lie. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, past tense, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us, which makes us what?
A liar.
A liar. Let's go to the second chapter now. Verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. What does that make him? Let's go to the 22nd incident in the second chapter. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. If you don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, you don't believe in God, what does that make you? A liar. I want you to see something else. Let's go back to where we came from here in the fourth chapter here and the 20th verse. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. John ain't had no problem with calling you a liar. I love God, but I just don't like you, a liar. Well, you know, I'm living whole and perfect and